Welcome to the Christian View Podcast. My name is Angela Roberts-Jones, and I am excited that you have tuned in. My hope is that you will be enlightened and encouraged by this view. Let's have a talk. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of the Christian View. This podcast episode is designed to encourage you and empower you to be and do all that God has designed and fashioned you to be. I am your host, Angela Roberts-Jones, and I am so excited to have our special guest today, Mr. Isaac Spencer Jr., who was really a guest with us these past two episodes on What's Love Got to Do with It? And I am so excited to continue that thought today. What's love got to do with it? Relationships, love, soulmate. That's what we're going to follow through with today. So let's begin with just speaking to you, Isaac. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Pastor, and yourself?
I am doing great, and I'm excited about this episode. You know, I just mentioned to you that the last time we did the episode, and I looked at the flyer and looked at the name of your company, Agape Multimedia Company, and just the name Agape arrested my attention, especially because it's in line with what we're talking about. So can you give us just a little more information about you and your company? Why did you choose the name Agape?
Sure. My company is a multimedia company, so I deal mostly with photography, videography, and graphic design. I was raised in a church, and my mother and father, they were both pastors, and they did a lot of studying, and a lot of prepping for messages. So that was a learned behavior. So as I got older, and you know, I would do my own searching on words and scripture. I came upon the word agape, and it really caught my attention. And upon more study, I found out that agape means it's a God type of love, and it just really gave me that connection to my passion. So that whenever I did pictures or videos or did any type of work for customers, family, or friends, I wanted that God type of love to come through my pictures and video and the work that I give to people. So that was the main part, and I kept the name, never left the Agape Multimedia, and I've had the company for about 15 to 20 years. So it's been great, and I love the name, and it's also a witnessing tool, because some people that aren't in the church, they would ask me, what does agape mean? And then that'll give me a chance to talk about the meaning and tell them, you know, it's a type of love, actually it's a God type of love. And then we can go from there. So it's a name that's attached to my passion, but it's also, like I said before, it's a good witnessing tool for people that might not know anything about God or know anything about ministry.
You know, that's awesome, because in this world now, we need love and we need to connect. We need to belong. As a matter of fact, I just believe that's really what's wrong with society. The reason why we have so much hatred, so much crime, you know, poverty, all of that. We have a difficult time in our marriages, getting along with our children. You know, just really understanding that God type of love is needed, and what drove me to do this particular podcast. You know, there's so much we can do or say about love, but today I really want to focus on marital love, relationship love, that type of love, because many people are lonely and depressed and stressed out because of their relationships, you know. And we hear in the world, or we hear about a worldly type of love, and we learn from the world how to relate to others. But many times that's just not solid. It's not foundational. So we want to talk a little more about that marital type love, that God type of love, that agape love. You know, love is as love does. Do you remember this past week, I guess past couple of weeks ago, the story about Barbara Bush and her passing, you know, and George W. Bush? Wasn't that just an awesome relationship?
Yes, that was beautiful. And they also showed where actually at the funeral, that he sat by her casket the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was beautiful, and just the amount of years that they've been together. And it's just beautiful.
Yes, you know, because you don't see that as much these days, you know, people just loving and caring. And what really struck me about the relationship too, not only the amount of time that they were together, you know, she died at the age of 92, but, you know, she said that along the way, she felt that she felt inadequate because she didn't have a job or career per se. But she raised this family that several of them became involved in politics and involved in the community. So eventually she began to see her place in her marriage and her place in the world. And it appears that they worked together for this particular purpose. You know, wouldn't you say, could you see how their relationship just blended for purpose?
Yes, I think marriage has to be a partnership, and sometimes it's the man who has the lead in the marriage because of his job or whatever. But sometimes it's a woman too, you know. Mm-hmm. But either way, there needs to be a partnership for them to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. You know, relationships, when we speak of relationships, we discussed three types of love in the last two episodes. But moving on from that, when you look at relationships, it can simply be defined as the way two or more people connect or relate to each other. Relatives, or let's say family members, are connected by blood. And they share family members and a family history. But just as you said, with a marriage, you know, Barbara and George Bush, they related, they became partners to fulfill a certain purpose that was not just for her husband, who was in the public's eye. She was in the public's eye as well. So they related or came together or connected for a particular purpose. And I'm just using them for an example because they were just all out in the news. You know, there are many, many awesome examples. For instance, your parents and my parents, as you just spoke of. But as a family grows, they must interact and communicate and share life's experiences and interests in order to form a bond. So there must be some interaction and shared experiences. That's how you become partners in life, you know, sharing experiences. So wouldn't you say sharing experiences? How do you share experiences? How do you share life? How do you become partners?
Well, I think we've heard many, many examples. I know for one of the Obamas, they showed their shared experiences. Because with both of them, even having a chance to go different careers, like with Michelle having the different law degrees from Ivy League schools, she could have easily went her own way. Mm-hmm. But because they had one mind and one focus and one love, they made it to the presidency. Mm-hmm. And I say they because, you know, it wasn't just him. It was a team effort. Mm-hmm. And that same thing happens to so many couples who are successful in life and successful in marriage. Mm-hmm. It has to be that dedication and that deep commitment and that love.
Mm-hmm. And I think Michelle is an awesome example. When you think about, you know, let's compare Barbara Bush and Michelle Obama, okay? Barbara Bush was not a career person, okay? When according to her words. But Michelle Obama is an awesome example of a woman who's so intelligent and all that, but still didn't mind, although she wasn't really in the background, so to speak, but she still did not overshadow her husband. I think that's awesome. You know, as yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what actually happens is that when it comes to a relationship, like you said, they came together for purpose and it took both of them to make it to the White House. Amen to that. It took both of them, you know, although he was the president. But what actually, but what that actually means is that two people connect in an intimate way, not necessarily are limited to a physical relationship, but they share likes and dislikes, goals and dreams, hobbies, the arts, leisure, activities, politics, desire for children, or something in addition to just their physical attraction, which binds them together. They share inner struggles, weaknesses, concerns, issues, and they confide, you know, about specific private things that they may not necessarily share with other people. So, as a matter of fact, a soulmate is just that, two souls connecting, relating to one another. So when we look at the outer person, you know, that political machine, going back to the Obamas and even my parents, your parents, who were joined together for purpose, you look at the outer machine, sometimes all we see are the mechanisms or what they're doing in the man's eye, in a person's eyesight. But what happens behind the scenes with two souls? You know, one of the reasons why I ask you to come on, or I just wanted a male perspective as well, because it's not just important to the woman, it's important to the man. You know, how do you see the soulmate, you know, when we see souls connecting emotionally, intellectually, creative, the spiritual part of your being. How do you see that soul connection, you know, from your point of view?
Well, I see a soulmate as somebody who connects on your level. And when you talk about purpose, the two of you agree and you link together as one. And it seems like if it's truly a soulmate, I believe that you know, the lifestyles will connect. I believe your dreams and your hopes and dreams would connect. I believe that everything would line up because it's connecting at the soul. Mm-hmm. It's connecting for a purpose, like I said earlier. I haven't met my soulmate yet, but I can only guess how things should be. Mm-hmm. And both are willing to compromise for a single purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's like connecting at the hip, so to speak. You know, your personality, right. the essence of your being, you know, a person who connects with you is accepting of who you are. You know?
Right. And vice versa. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And vice versa. And that's really kind of what we want to move toward today, because two people must literally share themselves with the other in every way. And people who usually share in the same value, share connected the soul, sharing the same values and perspectives about life. So if conflict arises, or if conflicting values arise, then they must come to a resolve, some kind of way to agree on what you believe and what you value, you know, and then respect the other for their differences. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I think compromise and adjustment is key. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you can just be the same way in a relationship and not being able to adjust to the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Because certain things in life happen and you have to adjust. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things that you might have to give up or change a little bit for the success of the partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Or the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let me add to that compromise, communicate. You know, I'm praying for you, brother, that you meet your soulmate. Okay, I heard you say you haven't met him yet, but you met her yet.
Right.
But you have the right, you know, I agree, you have the right mindset, because you have to have some idea of what that is before you meet that person. Otherwise, how would you know? And you explore that together as far as what you both think. Because if you have one thought or perspective and the other person has another thought or perspective, at some point you have to bring that together. So communication is key. Dialogue.
Yeah.
What do you believe? What do you think? How do you feel about this? How do you want to move forward in your life? You know, where do you see yourself 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? How do you want to grow old together? You know, what does retirement look like?
Right.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think communication is key. Mm-hmm. And it has to be a continual communication and a continual growing. Because, you know, like I said earlier, because we change, situations change.
Mm-hmm.
So say for instance, maybe the person, one of the persons might not want kids. That's something that has to be communicated. Mm-hmm. But later on in the marriage, maybe the other person decides that they want kids. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they would like to go after. So I think communication is key, and I think you really need to stay abreast upon what's going on in the marriage and or what's going on in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just let it go on all the drive because mm-hmm. you know that doesn't work.
You know, you just said something that was key. You know, like say two people come together and you decide you don't want kids and you made that decision at the onset of the marriage, but as you move through, you decide you want to have children. Well, do you just stay bent or strong-willed on that first decision? Whereas compromise at some point, you know, people change. You know, you have different needs as you grow older in life and your experiences change. So that is such a key thing that you just said, a key point. And it might not be children. It might be other things. You know, somebody might decide, one of the partners may say, well, I'm not going to work. And you say, well, that's a good thing. You decide, okay, we'll get married. One of you will not work. But what if 10 years down the road, you have financial problems?
Right.
You know, financial needs. So you might have to work or make some adjustments. So that is so powerful. Yes, very powerful. Ongoing communication, that is powerful. So what's love got to do with it? If you love one another, then what happens? You can compromise. You adjust. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that leads us to the scripture that we want to continue this conversation today. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 21 through 33. And I do want to read it, if you don't mind. Verse 21 begins, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, but no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I wanted to read that because as a pastor, counselor, coach, friend, mother, sister, all of that, I have found that, and even including myself, you know, young in life, that scripture for many is just so confusing. And we have a tendency to take it literally and not really take into consideration the background of why Paul, the author of this particular scripture, even addressed husband and wives this way. But it really is symbolic of the love that Christ had for the church, which is why so powerfully explained, as you said about your company, agape love is so important, and it's important that we understand it. So interestingly enough, in this particular passage, the word for love is agape or agapeo. So you don't see the word, or Paul is not using the word phileo, which is that friendship, strong affection, brotherly love. He doesn't use the word eros, which is that physical, passionate, strong, desirable love. He uses the word agape to describe this relationship. So agape, as you said, that God type of love, but just to add another layer to it, is that unconditional, benevolent, affectionate love for another. But another word for it is charity, which means generous actions or donations to aid the poor, the ill, the helpless, or providing for the needs of others. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today on this passage, you know, providing for the needs. What does it mean to be in this agape type love relationship, even that God has for us and has for the church? You know, I know you have a lot of thoughts on that. Just interject, Isaac, you know.
Just reading the word, it's just awesome how God shows you. You know, he's the ultimate example. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the type of leader, type of God, that he doesn't just tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. He shows you how he loves, and then he gives you an example of how you should also love the same way. So he's not the type of leader who's going to just tell you, okay, you need to do this. He's going to say, just as I love you, and just as I cover you, just as I do all these things for you, I want you to do to one another. Mm-hmm. You know, to the man, just as I love you, just as I cover you, just as I provide things for you, the same as I want you to do for your family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think one of the issues, well, that's awesome, because many people today need to hear that before we enter into a relationship. Many times we get married or we enter into a relationship not understanding the responsibilities or the role that we play in making sure that is a successful relationship, you know. And so he does show us. That's an awesome example, which is what we have to get back to. That example, if you want to know, read the word, talk to people, ask for understanding. So here, just like if we look where it says, wives, submit to your husbands, you know, that can cause some issues with people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean? Submit?
Right.
You know,
right. If you don't understand the context to you know where it was said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Interpretation is key.
Exactly. Interpretation is key. And so in this particular passage, submit, when he says verse 21, he starts off by saying, submitting one to another. So one of the things we forget about, I think, or don't focus on in a marital relationship is that agape love, that agapeo love, is that God kind of love. We look at each other, first of all, as human beings. You know, sometimes we have a difficult time looking at that other person as a soul. That's a child of God. You know, your mate is a child of God. They're an individual with purpose, with dreams, with vision. And God doesn't mean that once you get married, that you just totally lose your purpose, your individuality. That's not what that means. So when the wife submits, that means she retreats in a sense. She retires or withdraws or yields to the total purpose of the couple. I love that you use the Obamas as an example. I was thinking about that as well as we move forward into this, because Michelle Obama and many other people, you know, even including myself, career women, intelligent, educated, or whatever the case may be. But when you come together with a mate, there's a purpose for the two of you coming together. Amen?
Amen.
And so,
absolutely.
Yes. And so submitting to that purpose is what Paul is speaking to this particular passage. Like, he's reminding them of the functionality of marriage, the functionality of love, respect, physical and spiritual union. You know, how does that play out? As Christ loves the church, so husbands should love their wives, and as wives love Christ, so they should respect their husbands. So what a wife does is submit to the love of her husband. So you want to tell me a little bit about that from your perspective?
Yeah, I've had different experiences with the submitting thing. Mm-hmm. I dated people who were like corporate